back church, that's exactly what it did do. But it didn't stop there. Because technology continued to move. And things got faster and better. And cell phones got smaller and yet quicker and smarter. And computers could do a whole lot more. And I can say tonight that it was too late that I began to give way to the thought. Just what it is that the next number of years will bring to and upon us, not only as a people, but especially in concerns to we as a people of God. What are the years that are on their way? We're heading into 2020. Where's it going to take us? What's going to happen? I guess what I'm saying tonight is in concerns to what it is that we could or what we will be faced with as God's people, as we, as it is we who continue to be the ones preparing for the day when Jesus comes back for his bride, the church. I personally believe that there exists nothing in this world, nor in concerns to that of our lives that carries within it, that of a greater significance than in concerns to each of us in view of our, in a view of your being saved. I'm not just talking tonight about the Acts 2:38 plan of salvation. But I'm talking tonight about the fact and how it is that we as a people of God will live and exist as it is we who live in a world that continues to only grow darker. They want to bring in new laws and new ways, and they want to cast off the old, and they want to bring in the new. They want to allow things that were wrong and call them right, and they want to take the things that were right and then condemn them as being wrong. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Please turn there. I take a pause so you would open your Bibles and you would turn to the Scripture. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It was the Apostle Paul who writes, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Could it be that it was God who had given the Apostle Paul a preview of what it would be, what the world would look like in the 21st century that we live in? The reason is because back then in Paul's day, there was really no real modern technology to speak of. Back in the Apostle Paul's day, there was no television, there was no internet, there were no cell phones, for they would have been considered out of this world and literally unheard of. And the way that people communicated, or you could say the way they corresponded as well, was very well below in Paul's day, even that what it was 100 years ago. But yet still the exhortation and the warning was proclaimed. He wouldn't tell the church people, "Don't you be texting during the service. Put your iPad away. Shut the TV off and make it to church. What have you been surfing the net for?" That would not have been in Paul's day, and yet it was in Paul's day that God spoke to him and told him what would happen in the latter times. Yeah, you could say in Paul's day, people just like in our day were they who would have ventured in their lives, or would have been they who would have strayed from the paths, the apostles and the men of God who would have sought to steer them away from the wrong paths. But still, it was really nothing like it is in concerns to our day. Technology today has taken the world by storm, and it has in some ways tied the preachers and the pastors' hands. In that no longer can we just get up and preach against the wiles of the television and the theaters. Why? Because today you don't even have to leave your house or your car in order for you to indulge in either, and beyond that, even worse. I can sit in my car and get into a whole lot of trouble, and it's not with my wife. I can go into the privacy of my home and go downstairs and turn things on and bring things up that would shock God to his very core. No more can we preach, "Save yourself from this untoward generation," because if it's not in a person's heart. If it's not in your heart, there exists no preaching or teaching in the realm of this modern society that has the power to keep a child of God away from the evils that lurk, not just in their homes, but in that which now rests in the palms of their hands. Like a cell phone, an iPad, an iPod, etc. Along with the keys of that new generation, fast and powerful computer, along with the screen that can virtually take those who are searching anywhere you want to go. Just push a button. Just type in a phrase. And there you are. What do you want to see? What do you want to learn? Where do you want to go? Again, what it is that I'm attempting to share with you tonight is the days of the don'ts and the should nots, they're gone. And in concerns of the days in which we live, the only thing that's going to see any soul or child of God saved is going to be when it's you or it's they who allow the word of God and the preaching that you'll hear to cause your heart and your mind to get you to where it will be you who falls in love with Jesus Christ. You fall in love with Jesus Christ enough to the place where it will be you who turns away from all the allurements of the world that have the potential of destroying you. As it's you who determines in your heart to hold on to all the doctrines of the Bible that God had purposed to be written. They, of which two have the power, not to destroy you, but to save your soul from that of the devil's eternal hell. God has the power to save. The devil has the power to destroy. The condition of your heart speaks of your moral compass, that which is inside of you, that which gives you the ability to judge what is right and what is wrong, and then to act accordingly. Hey, sweetie, do you want to come over and give me a kiss? Wait a minute. That's not your wife. He's not your husband. Well, why don't we just go and buy that? Nobody's around here. They don't even know us in this town. But that's wrong. I guess, meaning really, I don't do this, not just because I'm told not to, or because I'm allowed to, that's why I do it, but I don't do it or I do participate in it simply because it's right or it's not. It's your rightness. It's what's in your heart. It's out of the heart that proceeds evil thoughts. It's out of your heart that causes you to sway from the paths that God would like to keep you on. Let's take it further. Book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Mark, chapter 7. 21 to 23. It's Mark here who records the words of Jesus. As Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the man." Where are they coming from? The heart. It's the condition of your heart. Amen. What Jesus was having Mark record were clearly both the state as well as the condition of your heart. Well, I couldn't help myself. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Your heart. What does Jesus say? You honor from the lips, but your heart is far from me. See, all of what is recorded in these few verses is not from a list of do's and don'ts. But they are instead the conditions of a man's, of a woman's, or that of a boy or a girl's heart in view of why they do or they don't do them. Why don't you do... Don't you give me a filthy look, mister. Excuse me, young lady. Why are you doing that? It's my heart. In this modern world in which we live, the new norms are not to stay away from those things which cause your flesh to indulge in. No. Now it's they whose moral compass has been inbred with them to go after that which pleases your flesh. If it feels good, do it. No longer having within that sense of rightness, and as a result, it is that old-fashioned apostolic holiness preaching pastor or preacher who must seek to do their best, not just to present and to preach to you the do's and the don'ts, but who now, more than ever before, must seek to aim and to preach at the condition of your heart. Why don't you watch that? Why shouldn't you go that way? Why should you not be part of that? Don't you tell me what to do. I'm not. I'm aiming at your heart. What would you do if God came and sat next to you, maybe today or last night or sometime even at work, and listened to your conversation and maybe saw where you were on your phone or what you were playing with on the internet or who you've been texting? Don't tell me what to do. I'm not. I'm appealing to the condition of your heart. See, more than the many reasons of why indulging in the ways and the wants of your flesh can be what bears within it the power to eternally destroy you. You're gone. Again, in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 34 through 36. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 through 36. It is Jesus who calls out to warn they who would follow him. He says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." In the Old Testament book of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 21, and this time the second portion of verse number 11. 1 Samuel 21, second portion of verse number 11. The writer writes, "Is not David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Well, whether or not you know this, the song has been rewritten for us in the 21st century. The new song goes something like this. Television has slain its thousands, and the internet is well on its way to slaying its 10,000s. And this church, saints, friends, tonight, is not only because people today more and more are omitting God from their existence of their everyday lives, but I contend that it's because of the condition of people's hearts. Well, I'm a Christian. What were you looking at that for? Well, I'm a Christian. Oh, I was having an epileptic seizure. Sorry about that. I guess it was the wrong thing. I shouldn't have listened to it. Yeah, you invited me to Sunday school last week, and I just thought I was going to come ask you if I could come, but I don't know. Maybe I changed my mind. Jeremiah writes in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 9 and 10. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But it goes on from there. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Ah! Sorry, I didn't mean to let that slip.
Well, you!
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the fruit of his doings. Today in the church and in the world, people do and they involve themselves in, they indulge in the things of their flesh. Amen, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Not just because of the absence of God in their life, but because their moral compass that used to be set in telling them what was right and what was wrong is no longer in line with rightness, nor is it in line with thus saith the Lord. And why? Because as far as the thoughts of their minds and the condition of their hearts, if it is they, here now, who believe what they're doing or what they're not doing is not wrong, they as well as you will do it. Whether or not the Bible, the preacher, whether or not even God through His Spirit is telling you it's wrong. You're going to do it anyhow. I don't really think as your pastor you should do that. You don't need to listen to that kind of garbage and getting into your head. You shouldn't allow your children to do... Mind yours. I can show you in the Bible where it says, yeah? Well, read it yourself then. Maybe you need it more than I do. God, why don't you just leave me alone? Why are you always bugging me? If what I say is not true, punchline. If what I'm telling you tonight, even thus far, is not true, then I ask you, why is it that a saint of God can be the one to walk out of the presence of a Spirit of God moving service in a very short order, be the one to foolishly begin to indulge in the things that the very God that they claim to be serving abhors and speaks against in His Word? What's wrong? It's a condition of your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Wow. Shut your face, woman. You dumb cow! Didn't you just go to church? If you slam that door one more time, you can walk home! Aren't you supposed to be the pastor? Aren't you supposed to be a saint? How can they do that? I'll tell you why. See, this is what occurs in the world, and it occurs in the lives of those who claim to be in the church as a result of the condition of their, as a condition of your heart. That's why. Remember, this isn't braggart, honey. It's just the truth. I can't wait till I hear you cuss. You've been working here 2 years now. I'm waiting for the chance. And I told my manager, if it ain't in here, don't worry, honey. It won't come out here. We'll let that land. If it's not my heart, it won't come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. You see, if in your heart you don't think, you don't believe, whatever it is that you're doing or you're participating, whatever you're watching, listening to, etc. is wrong, then there's no, again, no preacher, pastor, word of God, and in God Himself who's the power to stop you from indulging whatever it is that you're doing. No one's going to, you're just going to do it. On your way to a lake of fire, you're going to do it. Anyhow. I watch in my own church in the last 20 years where people will walk into church and they look the part and they worship and they get to the altar and they cry their eyes out and they walk out those doors and the devil gets a hold of them and the world is what they wear. I think, well, maybe they didn't preach it right. No, I've got nothing to do with preaching, honey. It was a condition of their heart. See, I declare to you tonight that the only thing that has the power to sway, to turn you back to where it is your moral compass should be, is for you in your life to cease from hardening your heart. And to continually, pardon me, revisit the reason that you do and that you don't do things, not just because you're told not to or you're asked not to do those things that will eventually destroy your soul. That's not why. God bless Brother Wilson, but that's one of the worst statements I hate that he makes about the people he met in another city, maybe under his ministry or his time at church. Oh, you go to the Can't Do Church. Oh, I can, honey, I can do what I want.
Right,
listen, I can go to hell if I want.
Right.
You better believe I can. I don't belong to a Can't Do Church. I can do what I want, but God took the garbage out of my heart and soul, and he put his Spirit on the inside of me, and he turned my life around, and so I don't want to do it. I go to the don't want to church.
Right.
I'm asked not to do things. But the condition of your heart is what will have to be realigned. It's your godly sense of abhorring that which God hates. We begin to cause you to cleave to that which God allows you to do. So now that you reason your heart as to why it is that today and in your daily life, the do and the don'ts, because in your heart it's you who doesn't want to offend God.
Right.
You know what? I bet you that I could go around the room and point at each one of you. Guaranteed in the last 20 years, I've offended probably every one of you. I've probably said something that ticked you off, made you mad, and vice versa. But you know what? Me and you could tell he's sorry, and I can say sorry to God too, but I don't want to offend God. I don't want you walking into Walmart or any other store or sitting selling peanut brittle or chocolates, and they go, oh my goodness. There they are. You don't go to his church, do you? Oh, Grandma, I don't know what to tell you, honey. Wow. He's a boozing, carousing, cussing a little, good for nothing. You walk in any store you want. They may not like what I stand for. And they might misperceive at times me being friendly. I've never asked them for dates or what their measurements are. But they'll never be able to touch. You're not moral. You haven't been right. You haven't carried the gospel correctly. You're a liar and a cheat. You're a thief. Oh no. Because the compass, that moral compass says, that's what God abhors. And if God don't like it, I don't want to do things he don't like. I don't want to get him mad. What does Jesus say to the words of Mark, this time in Mark chapter 12, verse 30? Is this okay so far? You're not going to kick me out before Christmas. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Ready? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Guess what? You ready? If I'm in love with my wife, I'm not looking for another. If you're in love with your husband, you're not looking for another. If you're in love with God and your heart is set on heaven, there ain't no devil in the lake of fire or anywhere else in this world that will draw you into his clutches and cause you to compromise your holiness principles and the rightness that sits in your moral compass inside your soul. One more time, more than ever before, we church are living in a generation. We're being told, you just don't do that. You don't go there. You just don't involve yourself or get involved in that because it's wrong. You know, God doesn't like it. See, it isn't enough. Instead, it's we who are living in a day where it's necessary. In order to see a life change in a soul, it's we who must focus in on, and we must try to direct the reasoning for the need of that correct rightness. To where in concerns of the condition of their, or maybe even of your own heart, it must now be set to where you in your life will get to where you will leave, or pardon me, you'll live, for that you will follow after what it is that God and His Word, and what it is that you hear preach calls for you in this world to do and not to do. And to follow after, not just because the preacher said so. Don't work no more, honey. I got a tract in my briefcase. Why, I don't have a television. Gone. Why, I don't have a television. Why, I can't watch Howdy Do and the Shoot 'Em Up and the Star Wars movie that's coming on its way. It's in the paper almost every day now. Woo-hoo. So the preacher said so. Big deal. It's not just because God doesn't like it, because it's you who one day needs to be in that place. Hear me now. Where it's God who looks down upon your soul and cries out, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord, and not depart from me, you that work iniquity. I ain't never knew you." I ask you, is this church tonight why it was Jesus who had recorded in the book of Luke chapter 18 in the second portion of verse 8? Is this why he put it in there? Luke 18 and verse number 8, second half. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I wonder tonight, is this why the Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, First Corinthians 11 and 1, "Be ye followers of me, even also as I am of Christ. For it's going to ultimately be the condition of your heart that will determine for you whether or not you one day will make heaven your eternal home." Hey, tell you right now, got the Holy Ghost. Yeah? I may not have long hair like some of you ladies do, but I've got a tongue just as long because I use it to backbite and to gossip and do things wrong. Praise the Lord. I bite and devour and I do nasty things and I lie and I cheat and I think I'm going to get away with it. I embellish my stories just so you'll like me. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. "And many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord." You know what he says? Leave. The message to each of you that are here, and really to those who give their ear to the words of this preacher, is this. We're living in such a time where in Acts 2:38, the salvation message is no longer all that we are required to do for. In the day and the hour which we are living in view of the many evil vices and the distractions that have within them the power to not just persuade you, but to ultimately destroy your soul, it must be you who almost on a daily basis who needs to look into the whys and the why nots of your living your life for Jesus Christ the way you do, and then to seriously consider what the condition of your heart is. How do I live when I'm at home, sister? Brother, how do I behave when I'm at home? When I'm on the job, what's my behavior? How do I act? Is your heart, maybe has your heart been deceived like so many others? Could it be that you in your life are now allowing things into your heart? Things whose power will prove to have the adverse effect on your holiness, rightness? And that of which, what God looks for and expects you in your life to either abhor or to follow after according to what is written in the Word of God, not according to the excuse-making decisions or dictates of your flesh, but according to what it is that God will require for you to have done and how it is that you should have continued to live your life for Him in such an untoward generation. In closing tonight, I want you to know that we're seeing what it is I'm talking to you about firsthand. Among those who lay claim to an apostolic heritage, they who at one time were they whose condition of their heart would not allow such indulgences of their flesh to come into their lives, their homes, their hearts, but who now find a multitude of reasons to rather explain away what they're allowing as no longer being necessary safeguards. But rather it's they're getting up to speed with where the world is and, you know, the way they're living and what the world is doing. I don't want to be excluded. Come on. Yet all the while, as God is looking down upon we as his people as he prepares to return to judge rightly the condition of your heart. Sister Z. The writer writes, shall he find faith? When he returns, will the Son of Man find faith? And then it's Matthew in the 24th chapter, verse 22, records again the words of Jesus. Matthew 24, the Gospel, verse 22. Jesus declares, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I wonder the next few years just how far some, and maybe even some of you that are in this building tonight will go as it is a condition of your heart that more and more becomes affected. Or maybe let me say it becomes infected by the ways and the wants of this world. See, in our church, you know, we're not allowed to. You know, well, because the pastor says so, right? Wrong. As we stand together this night. It is because instead, according to God and his word, it should be according to what should be, what your moral compass tells you. It's you who should be able to know what's right and what it's wrong for you to do, and then it needs to be who does your best to live your life accordingly. Can I be bold enough to say, on the 18th of December 2019, if it ain't right now, get rid of it. Take it out of your house, your heart, your home, your car. If it's dirty music, if it's dirty magazine, if it's internet porn, if it's Netflix and movies, if it's kiddie stuff, and God don't like it, he's going to come back and judge your heart, honey. Finally, reading 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Don't turn there because it'll scare you. Be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants you. He loves the fact that you close your ears to the preaching of the word. He relishes in the fact that you got that garbage on your cell phone and in your home. So bit longer, honey. I'll have your soul in torment for eternity. I've destroyed you. And I just want to eternally have you. I believe that the day and the hour in which we're living in church is what calls for us to seek to align and if necessary, to realign our moral compasses to where it be God who be pleased and not our flesh. See, that's why it's you who needs to pray, maybe right now, asking God to reveal to you where in your real condition of your heart lies. And when you pray, if it's you who sees the need to make things right with God, maybe even right with yourself and your home, your family, then ask you tonight to do so, not to go home the way you came. In Jesus' name. Make things right while you can, friend. Ensure that the condition of your heart is fully right with God. It's time to pray. Right where you are.
Jesus be.
Jesus.
The Lord of
all. Touch that heart.